Third John, the third of John's epistles, way back in the back of your New Testament, is where we're going to find our message this afternoon. Third John chapter 1, because there's only one. Verse 1, if you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read the scriptures together. I am going to preach a very short message this afternoon, and then we are going to end that part of our service, this part of our service, and we'll move on to our business we need to take care of. But I'm thankful that you're here this afternoon. I'm thankful for God's word. Let's pray, and then we'll read the text. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace this afternoon, I pray that you would speak to us through your word. I'm thankful that you've given us your Holy Spirit who guides us and teaches us all truth. And I pray that, as always, you'll help us to rightly divide the word of truth, to cut straight paths and to understand your truth. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us, each and every one of us, and that we would walk in the truth. Please forgive us where we fall short. Please bless your word and bless this message in spite of me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3rd John, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Amen. Please be seated. This is a short, very short, personal letter from the elder, John, to Gaius, who was a faithful man of God. So he's talking to him about hospitality. He's talking to him about support for faithful brethren who are traveling, and not just brethren, but also strangers as well. So he was fellow helper to those who were in the truth, and he was showing that same love that he had for the brethren to those who were outside of the church. And that's what it's all about. But I want you to see this. He talks a lot about love, about truth, about our walk, about faithfulness, about being fellow helpers. So look back at verse 1, the elder to the well-beloved Gaius. The elder is John identifying himself. At this time, he was, in fact, an old man. But this elder, this presbyteros, it definitely can apply to somebody who's older, but it especially applies to somebody who's older in the faith, a mature leader. And certainly we know John was a faithful follower of Jesus, and if history is correct, outlived the rest of the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and God just blessed him and used him greatly in his life, during the ministry, life and ministry of Jesus, and for decades after the Lord ascended. And he's writing to Gaius, he says, who I love in the truth. It's not just a feeling of love, it's love that's built on truth. Love that's built on truth in who God is and who he is and who they are together in Christ, and truth based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that binds us. It's the gospel that ties us together. We wouldn't know anything about truth or love if it weren't for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that true? What would we know about love if we didn't know the gospel? What would we know about truth if we didn't know Jesus? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so this love is based on that. And I want to say that our love for one another in the church ought to be built on the truth. It's love that's built on the truth of who Christ is and who we are in Jesus Christ, and that's the love. And he says here in verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, let me, before anybody gets too crazy about wish, we understand this isn't like, when you wish upon a star, right? It's not what we're talking about. This is a great desire. And John's saying, my heart desire, that was really bad, wasn't it? I'm sorry. My heart's desire for you, he's saying this is my plea with God. So we can wish, and we can dream, and we can hope, but our hope is in Christ. Our dreams are rooted in him. Our wishes are for him to do something. And so his wish was towards God. And above all things, this has thrown me, because he says, above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. And John sounds really a lot like a prosperity, health, and wealth gospel minister right here. And that's not at all what he's saying. When he says above all things, it means concerning all things. Like in everything in your life. And his heart's desire for Gaius is that he would be prosperous, that he would be blessed, that he would be well favored of God in every area of his life. He wanted everything to be in health, even as your soul prospers. So check this out. We want you to be, John says, I want you to be healthy physically in the same way that your soul is healthy, spiritually healthy. Your soul is prospering, Gaius. You are blessed by God. You're blessed by God in your spirit, but I want you to be blessed by God in every area of your life. And shouldn't we want that for each other? Are you spiritually well? Has God spiritually prospered you? Has he given you his truth? Has he given you his spirit? Here's a question for you. Would it be good for my physical and financial and material condition to be the same as the condition of my spiritual life? That's a pretty searching question to me, because if my spiritual life isn't what it ought to be, like, sometimes we want our physical condition to be better than our spiritual condition is, right? And we want to be well in every way. And that was his prayer. Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. There was a testimony about him. There was a testimony. Gaius' life had become evidence of his walking in the truth. He says, the truth that is in thee and the truth that you walk in. And that's really important, isn't it? John had written in an earlier letter, 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And if we have Jesus Christ, we have his spirit, and he puts his truth in us, but we don't want to just have the truth in us. We need to also walk in the truth. What do we call that? Be thou doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so he goes on in verse 4 and says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, Gaius isn't, as far as we know, his literal son. He is his spiritual son, just like Paul called Timothy his own son in the faith. And he's saying, Gaius, you and others who have come to Christ, people who have followed me to follow Jesus, my heart's desire, I have no greater joy than to hear that we are walking in truth. This was what he wanted for them, and it's what I want for you. It's what we ought to want for each other. As a parent or a grandparent, do you want your kids to walk in the truth? Some of you are teachers in school. You want your students to walk in truth. As a pastor, I want to see the church walk in the truth. And this is our joy. We don't want to just talk about the truth. We don't want to just hear about the truth, but we want to walk in the truth. And how is it evident in his life? He says in verse 5, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And what he says is, I know that you're walking in truth because of the love, the hospitality, the goodness that you do to others. Your truth that you're walking in is evident in the way that you love and that you treat other people. So, whatever you do, you do to brethren and to strangers, you love others. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. His hospitality was real. It was visible. It was a testimony of his life. And there were people who were traveling from place to place, and he was helping them on their journey. You see that in verse 6. We have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. So his charity, his love, his acts of kindness, his acts of giving to others was a godly act for them, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles, his name, is the name above all names. It's the name of Christ. What Gaius was doing, what he was doing to the glory of God. And whatever we do, we ought to do it heartily, as unto God and not unto men. Whatever we do it to the glory of God. Wherefore, verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I want you to see that truth and love are inseparable. God is love. They that love not know not God, because God is love. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you see Jesus, then you see the Father. If you know Jesus, you know God. And you cannot separate him from who he is. And so for us today, if we're going to walk in truth, like John's prayer was for Gaius, he can't walk in truth unless he's walking in Jesus. And that's what we have to do. We have to know him. We have to follow him. We have to obey him. And that was John's desire and his greatest joy. And that's my heart's desire for our church, is that we would walk in the truth and that we would walk in love. Love for God, love for the brethren, those in the church, and love for strangers, those who don't know him yet. May God help us to walk in that love and that truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless your word in spite of me. I pray that you'd help your church here to walk in the truth, that we would know the truth, that we would understand the truth, that we would follow your word and nothing else. I pray that you would forgive our sin where we fall short. I pray you give us wisdom and guidance in everything that we say and everything that we do, that Christ would be magnified and that you would get all the glory, and that you would help this church to be a church that makes disciples who make disciples for your glory. May the number of the disciples be multiplied in this place. Lord, we pray for your kingdom to come and for your will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So that concludes our afternoon service.